Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people. We're the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile. It's finally come down to form one new man, one new species of being, which is going to house the full presence of God for the greatest end-time revival the world has ever seen. And I've been looking forward to this interview for a while. I have on the telephone the senior leader from Bethel Church, Bill Johnson. And Bill, there is something that marks you, and I believe there are two things that have done it. The first that has done it, and sometimes it marks someone in a bad way, is how many generations? Is it five generations of full gospel preachers and pastors?
Yeah, I'm a fifth generation pastor. My children are all in the ministry as well, so they're sixth generation.
That is, what a wonderful heritage.
Yeah.
I mean, that alone is miraculous to me. I mean, I didn't even know who Jesus was till I was almost 30 in Christian America, of all places. I want to take you back to a night that you had electricity go through your whole body. When was that?
October of 1995.
Give me a little bit of the history of that.
Well, we had been, really encouraged and inspired in the subject of revival in the outpouring of the Spirit. I had gone to Toronto and was touched there. I had come home. We were just hungry for something fresh from the Lord. I brought in a friend named Dick Joyce that was ministering. He's a great prophet of God and was ministering at the church, and that evening when we were praying for people, I told a friend of mine that God was going to touch him, and it could be in the middle of the night at 3 a.m, could be in the middle of the day. When I got home, it was very late at night, got to sleep, I woke up suddenly at 3 a.m. exactly with that prophecy that I had given to a friend of mine, that prophecy immediately in mind. I looked at the clock, it was 3 a.m. exactly, and I said out loud, I said, "You set me up." I felt like the Lord had me encourage somebody else with something that was actually my portion, and he just began to visit me in power. I don't know any other way to describe it except to describe it as electricity going through my entire.
Wait, and let me ask you something. You said you went to Toronto when the revival hit. What you're about to describe, did you have the same thing happen to you at Toronto?
No, I didn't have anything noticeable happen to me in Toronto, except I felt the presence of the Lord. I encountered his peace. There was a lot of just deep heart stuff that was wonderful. Just my affections for him were strong and vibrant and that sort of thing. But no, there was no experience.
Okay, let's take you back to 3 a.m. You prophesied something over a friend. It started happening to you. Describe.
Well, it's almost, I was actually embarrassed. I felt my face turn red. And the reason, I had no control of my limbs. They shot out with electricity, like 1,000 volts of electricity. I couldn't control my arms. If I clenched my fists, I would try to get control, then my legs would become more violent.
Now that's interesting, Bill, because I have had this happen to me, but I've had control. What I do is I yield to the Spirit of God doing this, but I've always felt I could stop it if I wanted to, but I never wanted to. Are you telling me you tried to stop?
Yeah, I didn't know what was happening at first, you know, to be honest with you. In the first few moments, I didn't know what was happening, and I tried to regain control of my body because it's not normal to have no control. I couldn't control it. I would fight it not knowing I was fighting the Lord. And I would try to get control. And then I realized through the...
Excuse me, was your wife there when this was happening?
She was sleeping. And it was a miracle she stayed asleep.
Because I think so.
It really was. Interestingly, a couple of days later, it spread to her as well. But it was just a violent, in a sense, encounter. And the Lord, he paraded certain pictures in front of my mind. He reminded me of Mary, the mother of Jesus, the mother of the illegitimate child. Reminded me of Jacob wrestling with an angel, limp for the rest of his life. He reminded me of these scenes in Scripture where an encounter changed everything. And while it was highly favored from heaven's perspective, not always from earth's perspective, and I felt embarrassed for what I was experiencing. And I then there was a picture that flashed in front of me that saw me trying to teach in front of the church that I pastored, realizing there's not anybody in the room that's going to believe this is God. This is so embarrassing, so unusual that I didn't think anybody would believe it was the Lord. And then the next scene, I saw myself standing in front of my favorite restaurant in town and realized that the city is going to laugh at me as well. And there was it was a decision. The Lord, I had been praying for months, and I literally had been praying this day and night. I would wake up in the middle of the night praying this, God, I want more of you at any cost. I will pay any price. And so when he paraded these scenes in front of me, he was basically asking me, did you mean it when you said at any price? Because the way it looked is it looked like I either will be a laughingstock in front of the church or the city, or I won't be able to get out of bed the rest of my life. I won't be able to function as a result of this divine touch. And I laid there weeping for probably 20 minutes, and after about 20 minutes or so with tears streaming down on my pillowcase, I said, yes. I said, I'll take it. I want more of you. You can do anything you want with me. You can make me look any way you want. It doesn't matter to me as long as I get you in the exchange.
Now, just out of curiosity, and you probably can't answer this question, but it's crossed my mind. If you had said, no, I want my dignity, do you think you would have lost what you have today?
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. He doesn't take you to moments of decisions that aren't necessary. You know, I'm not saying he wouldn't have used me. He wouldn't have done something in and through my life. But we often are the ones that set the limits.
Okay. Did he say anything else to you at that moment?
That was it. He wanted me to lay down my dignity, my fear of man, which, you know, if you ask anyone who knew me in that period of time, all my closest friends would have said, the fear of man was not an issue for me, but the Lord saw beyond what everybody else could see, and he could see that I could be prone to making decisions based on what other people thought, and I had to come to that place to go where he wanted to take me. I had to be able to respond to him, still maintain love, honor, respect for people, but respond to him without being crippled by the fear of man, and that's what he was after.
Now, out of curiosity, why did he choose you?
Oh, I have no idea.
I know you don't, but I thought I had to ask you anyway. It's called just his choice. That's all it's involved.
Exactly. You know, I am a fifth-generation pastor, which is the real positive, the wonderful thing. I had a great upbringing. But I'm the guy that took an F in school on an oral exam because I didn't want to speak out loud in front of people. I'm the guy that read one book in my all till I was 18 years old. I read it in eighth grade. I avoided reading. I hated study. I wasn't good at any of the things that are necessary for what I'm doing. So when the Lord chose me, he was doing what he often does. He chooses because of weakness. And that way he gets the credit for what he does. So I do believe that's at the heart and soul of what he did.
Okay, what time did the shaking, if you will, the electricity going through your body stop?
6:38.
Okay, at 6:39, did you just stay in bed and process, or did you jump out of bed, or did you tell your wife what happened?
No, I got up. I got up immediately. I didn't tell anyone. I didn't tell anyone. The next night, it started the moment I got in bed, and the third night, it hit me and my wife together. And by that time, of course, she knew what was going on, but I didn't tell anyone. I was processing. I couldn't figure it out. It was a great, great mystery to me. Now I have hindsight. I can say, well, he was dealing with fear of man. He was dealing with you know, of dignity, these issues. At the time, I was bewildered.
I'll tell you what. We're running out of time right now, but on tomorrow's broadcast, I want to find out the first time you lost your dignity after this event. But before that, I have to believe one of the most significant things that God has taught you all these years is how to host his presence. And this was a process in which he taught you how. And I asked you before we went on the air, why for your workbook and your two DVDs and your book, why did you call it hosting the presence? Why didn't you call it welcoming the presence? Why hosting?
Well, if you have a special guest come to your home, you want to host them. You do extra things. You make sure that you have your nicest tableware. You have, you know, the tablecloth. You have the special meal. You're doing everything to honor the guest. And I realize that the Holy Spirit is a permanent resident in me, but I also like to live with that sense of honor and celebration of this one that I get to host. I get to truly get to welcome him, but I'm hosting him. I'm turning the affection, my whole value system, to just valuing and celebrating the fact that God is with me. But he's not just in me, which I'm grateful for, but he rests upon me. And when he rests upon me, it changes everything around me.
How important is it for you to be aware of this and for those that are listening to be able to participate with the Holy Spirit and have his presence and know how his presence can increase in their life?
Oh, it's extremely vital. You know, we know that any of us that become obsessed with a problem, we become fearful, we become anxious, we communicate that nonverbally. We carry the environment of fear and anxiety with us wherever we go. We can walk into a room and make everybody tense. Well, flip it around, and you know that the person who lives conscious of the Holy Spirit actually carries a presence into a room, and the atmosphere changes instantly.
Whoops, we're out of time. I want you to get this equipping course, and it is a course. It's a marvelous workbook of 187 pages. It's got the book, and it's got two DVDs with 8 lessons. And I want you to learn how to host the Holy Spirit. If you don't do it now, if you don't host the presence of God now with everything going on in this world, well, the entire series is available for a gift of $59. If you bought this piecemeal, it would cost you $99. To place a credit card order for today's offer, call anytime at 1-800-447-2697. That's 1-800-447-2697. Or log on to our website at www.sidroth.org. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. Discover how you can begin watching for free our 24-hour, 7-day-a-week TV network, ISN, the It's Supernatural Network. You can write me at Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. That's Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.